Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. I have crazy dreams. I want to thank Greg Galliano for being here. His film is The Road Dog, and you can get it on Apple TV, Tubi, all over the place. It's readily available. And I did get a text about who should be the person of the year, and we'll ask Rob Thomas that and Todd Alba. Todd is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Rob is coming up in just a minute here. He's the film critic and the entertainment reporter at the Capital Times. Here's what one text said. Jordan Love, man of the decade. So not just person of the year, they're already convinced, decade. Pretty tall order and a lot of pressure on Jordan Love. So joining me now, as I mentioned, is Rob Thomas. Rob was here last night. We had to have him back because Norman Lear passed away. This is a big day in show business. Rob, welcome back.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How would you summarize, like, let's say you had to write like a really short obit for Norman Lear. How do you even do that? Incredible life.
Well, I mean, he changed television. I can't think of another person since Philo Farnsworth, the guy who invented TV. Is that the guy's name?
Like, I don't know. I'll defer to you.
You think of TV like before him, it was like Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch and Love American Style. Yeah. And then he brought in All in the Family and The Jeffersons and Maude and Good Times and all these shows that were based in reality, based in what people were doing and thinking at the time, and made them funny, made them really funny. I mean, these weren't just critical hits. These were massively watched TV shows. Of course, that's back when there were three channels, but...
But still critically and highly rated. Like, that's,
yeah,
I mean, it's incredible.
And they're risk-taking shows. I mean, you think of All in the Family with Archie Bunker and Meathead, sort of locking horns about politics and race, right, and the times and poor you standing alongside. It was funny. Norman Lear took a lot of hits, I think, for his politics. I mean, from the right, but like those shows were mass appeal shows. Like they were the, I don't know, Sopranos of their time.
Yeah.
10, because, you didn't have to have HBO to watch them. They came into your living room every week.
Could that show be on now with the different political sides? Could people laugh with locking heads like that, with a Republican and a Democrat or a conservative, progressive, could that exist now?
I was thinking about that today. I think so. I don't think it would have the broad appeal unless, like, they were making fun of Archie Bunker. There's no question about that.
Right.
They're making fun of, Rob Reiner's character, less so. But, I mean, there was no doubt where the show's politics lay. I think if you could try and make a show that like sincerely had, was basically the Thanksgiving dinner probably most people went through, with people on both sides and kept it funny and relatively light, that could be hit. I guess they started a few years ago. They were staging episodes of All in the Family and the Jeffersons on TV with new actors like Woody Harrelson and stuff. I missed that, but kind of shows like the enduring appeal of those shows that they wouldn't have seen dated, 50 years later.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I heard the news today, I went to my IMDb Pro page. Good Times, they're doing they have one in development, a remake of Good Times. And I just said this last hour, Good Times was kind of my favorite. When I was a little kid, I lived in Chicago, and I loved that it was set there. I liked Jimmy Walker. He was easier for me to laugh at my age. All in the Family went right over my head, so I loved Good Times.
Right.
But Norman Lear has, in addition to Good Times, like 20 or 30 projects in development. What happens to those?
I don't know. I mean, I think like there was a One Day at a Time reboot that was on Netflix for a few years as well. That was one of their first big hits. I mean, I, you know, he was so beloved that I would imagine a lot of people are going to try and take up the baton, especially now, and try and complete those. But yeah, I mean, 101, and I mean, he was doing stuff almost right until the end. As far as, I mean, I think there's a documentary about him when he turned 100, and he still seemed, you know, in great condition, sharp as a tack, and was still interested in trying to keep doing stuff. That, I mean, that's a real sort of lesson for the rest of us to keep going, right?
Yeah, and that's another thing about Norman Lear that fascinated me. He, as a young guy, he fought in World War II. He didn't really achieve all of his success, or not all of it, but the start of it, until he was, I think, in his mid to late 40s or maybe even 50, which also speaks to his resilience. A really soft-spoken guy, but really resilient, and obviously a brilliant writer.
Right. I guess I didn't really do the math on that, but yeah, that's right. He would have been, what, All in the Family came out in 71, so he would have been 49. That's crazy. I mean, in TV, now you're done when you're 49. Thanks. Just getting started.
Yeah, ageism,
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
What was your favorite show of his?
I think I was a Jeffersons kid. I just remember watching a lot of that. And kind of like you said with JJ, like, it was a show that was funny for all ages, right? Like, I mean, there was a lot in there that was going over my head, obviously. But he knew how to create funny characters, hire funny actors, and, you know, just make these shows that were just so much fun to watch. And maybe later you sort of understood what was kind of really going on in the subtext of some of those exchanges.
Right.
Maude was another one. I think that was probably the one that probably pushed the envelope the most. That's one I didn't watch as much, but,
same.
I mean, it's pretty incredible. You think of how many shows he probably had in the top 10 at the same time in the early to mid 70s.
And think of how many spinoffs, like, he introduced the Jeffersons on Archie Bunker or on All in a Family.
Right.
He introduced Maude. I haven't seen that many. I mean, you get Happy Days had Joni Loves Chachi or Laverne and Shirley, but.
And Mork. Don't forget Mork.
Of course,
yeah.
Mork.
But Laverne and Shirley.
Happy Days wasn't making social political commentary either. The nuance in All in a Family, and I laughed a lot at Rob Reiner. Like, when he would rip on Rob Reiner, like, I thought you said not as much, and you're probably right about that, but it was just as funny to me as when he would make fun of Meathead.
Right.
I mean, it was just
you
You
kind of side with the guy in the easy chair, even though, you know, you may have been closer to Meathead's, I don't even know, I don't remember what his
Michael
real name
Stivic.
Was in the show.
Yeah, Michael Stivic.
Thank you. And will always be Meathead to me. But yeah.
And we're talking about my guest right now is Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. We're talking about Norman Lear and his legacy. And to your point before about how, you know, how he could talk about politics and differences, whereas Alan Alda did it in MASH as Hawkeye. And I would say the last 3 or 4 years of that show was not funny. It's like, okay, maybe I agree with the point you're making about war, but this isn't funny. Some people liked MASH until the end. I liked the early days when I saw the reruns, but that's not the case with Norman Lear and how he approached the subject. And not all of his shows were like Good Times. They made comments occasionally, but it was mostly about a family. But his shows that were political were very political and very funny all the time.
Yeah, I think because he started with the characters. I mean, he wasn't trying to make, you know, any larger points about politics, except like about human beings and how we interact with each other, whether it's different classes or different politics or, you know, different racial backgrounds. I think he was always looking at people as people first. So you always could identify with, you know, almost all of them when you were watching the shows, even the ones that you know, like Archie Bunker, you think you disagree with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sparks would just fly when, you know, George Jefferson would walk in the bunker house or whatever. And it was just really fun to watch. And he, you know, and so you kind of didn't care who won the argument. It's just the argument was really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, you really felt like a fly on the wall. That's the beauty of it. I mean, you really felt like you were right there in front of a live audience. I think that's rare. Like, I can lose myself in a movie or even in something shot on film for TV, but to really be there in front of a studio audience as a viewer, I think is pretty spectacular.
Right. Yeah. And he made shows where that's how people lived, right? Like, you know, today the Friends have these incredible apartments and, you know, and all that. But that looked like a real house in Queens.
Exactly. Now they would say, now studio, oh, that's kind of icky. Can we make him more successful? Right. And it's like, well, you're kind of losing touch. Rob, I can't thank you enough. Short notice, you joined us tonight. Thank you very much for your thoughts on Norman Lear. I have one more question for you, if you don't mind, sir. Taylor Swift is the person of the year. We're asking people tonight who they would make person of the year, if not Taylor. Do you have a vote?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough question.
I know. I should have given you some.
I would probably pick Taylor only because my daughter might be listening.
Or let's say Norman Lear, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Under the Wire. Yeah, I mean, person of the half century, right?
Certainly.
As far as television goes. Yeah.
Still got shows in development, too. That's pretty impressive at 100, at That's a C great. Note. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Rob, for your time tonight. I hope you got some brownie points with your daughter. You deserve it. And keep up the great work. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Pete.
You got it, Rob. Thanks. That's Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Joining in to talk about Norman Lear, who passed away today. We're going to talk in just a few minutes, more Norman Lear talk with a civic media legend, as I like to call him. Todd Alba will be by in just a little bit. We'll talk a few things, but Norman Lear as well. And Conrad, do we have time to play a clip? We probably don't.
Oh, we got 1 minute.
We got 1 minute. That's unheard of. That's uncalled for. Okay, so we'll play a clip maybe when we come back. We'll hear some Norman Lear's work, and maybe if we have time, maybe we'll play some more Stephen Wright one-liners. Those one-liners are catchy. Conrad, do you like Stephen Wright now that you've been exposed to him?
Yeah, I was laughing like all day when I was watching him.
This is kind of like an education for you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So if we've achieved one thing here today, that's what we've done. So Todd Alba will be by in just a little bit, and we've got a lot more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe coming up. Do not leave. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me, unwinding after a long day here broadcasting live from the WGBW beautiful City Deck Studios in Green Bay. Really great stuff. I mean, Todd Alba is going to be joining me in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little more Norman Lear. We're going to play some clips in just a couple minutes from his shows, which were just unbelievable. First, he was 101, just turned 101. I might have that wrong. No, he's 101. For those of you who don't know or are just joining us, he passed away yesterday. And he created All in a Family, Maude, Sanford and Son, Good Times, One Day at a Time. The guy has a track record like no one I've seen, really. He is responsible for creating or developing over 100 shows. And, like I just spoke with Rob Thomas, we just discussed this, he did not really see major success until he was about 50 years old or in his very late 40s. So his shows were political. They dealt with race. They dealt with politics, religion. They really pulled no punches, and they made it funny. And that's something that, I guess that's the question for the ages. Could that happen now with how polarized the country is? I don't know. Maybe Todd Alba can help us answer those questions, but a little bit more about Norman Lear. When he was 9 years old, his father went to prison for selling fake bonds, and Lear thought of his father not highly. He thought, this is from Wikipedia, says he thought of him as a rascal. Which I thought was interesting because a lot of comedians have issues with their father and some with their mother. They did not have necessarily stable home lives, or there was a lot of conflict. That seemed to be the case with Norman Lear. So that was interesting when I read that. He also served in the military. He enlisted in the United States Army, went to World War II, served in the Mediterranean, and flew very dangerous missions. So afterwards, he went to Hollywood and started out trying to be a writer. And the rest is history, but pretty amazing stuff. We have a clip here. We're going to play a clip from All in the Family. Those of you who remember the show, this will be a nice trip down memory lane. Those of you who don't remember the show, it's never too late to find it. This is a great clip. This is from All in the Family.
How was your day?
Lousy, Edith. Lousy. The world out there is full of nuts and fruitcakes, and sometimes I think I'm going to go the same way.
Oh, no.
Oh, be prepared, Edith. If I got to ride them subways another 2 years, you're going to have to check me into a rubber room.
Oh, wait, that's funny.
I was coming home. I'm talking, Edith. I'm coming home tonight, and it's sardine time again. Here's a guy pressed up against me so close, his buttons are making permanent dents in my flesh, see? So there we are. We ride nose to nose, and he starts talking to his daughter.
What's the matter with that?
She wasn't dead. Then on top of that, the bum behind me had beans for lunch.
You know that.
I could tell by the way he smiled at me.
Oh, okay. So Norman Lear, very heady writer, very clever, dealt with difficult issues, was not above a fart joke every once in a while. Okay. So, but to speak to how they dealt with racial issues on that show, Conrad, play the one where he's arguing with George Jefferson about race.
You're going to tell me that Jesus is black.
Well, now you're catching on. They already proved that Jesus was an Ethiopian.
Wait a minute. Now you say he's an Ethiopian, a Presbyterian says a Presbyterian. But whatever he was never black.
Well, if God wasn't black, how come he built us so much better than you?
Are you kidding?
Well, look at the way it is, man. Take us out of football, take us out of basketball, take us out of the Olympics, and what do you got? I can't even think about it. It's pathetic.
Well, let me ask you something. How come all the astronauts are white?
Because they're picked by lily-white Americans like you who only pick other lily-white Americans.
So what?
So nothing. Keep your white astronauts. Like I already proved to you, we got God, who is black.
Well, the only answer to that is...
And that is a way to settle racial issues, just dueling raspberries. Great stuff. And, you know, could it be done today? I don't know. We'll ask Todd Alba that, but it's pretty. Conrad, can we play the Good Times clip quick? How long is that? Do we have time?
That one's about 2 minutes.
We're cutting it close?
Cutting it close.
Okay. We could save that. That was actually my favorite Norman Lear show, as I mentioned, Good Times. It was set in Chicago. It was a family cramped into this apartment when I was growing up in Chicago, in the city. My best friend, they had six kids in an apartment, in a 3.5-bedroom apartment. And I think I related to that through Good Times. I love the idea of pulling out a sleeper couch at night and brothers having to sleep on that. And obviously, it was a TV show. It was set in a very dangerous part of Chicago, but I loved Jimmy Walker as a kid, and I even liked his stand-up later. He wasn't my favorite stand-up, but as an actor on that show, I mean, talk about presence. And to me as a kid, and I love the dad, the dynamic between the father, James Evans Sr., and James Evans Jr., it's just phenomenal stuff. And later they killed off the father. I don't know why they had to do that. I don't like when sitcoms do that, like when Colonel Blake died in MASH, but they have to do it, whatever they do it. But it was such a great dynamic between father and son, and the dad working hard, just trying to provide, and the kid driving him crazy. My favorite episode was when Junior had 12 cavities, But if these are shows you haven't seen, I highly recommend finding them. They're out there on TV Land or MeTV, or probably MeTV. You could find several of the Norman Lear shows, but I would look that up because they're just great shows. And they might, I don't know if they hold up or not. You'll have to be the judge of that, but they're certainly doing comedy that you don't see right now. So see if you like that. See how you respond to that style of comedy in a day and age where we're politically correct, where we're very sensitive, where Democrats and Republicans don't, you know, we call the other side snowflakes, but really we're the sensitive ones. Both sides are overly sensitive. And Norman Lear kind of said to heck with all that back then. And we weren't as polarized then, but it existed. So he also, I don't know if people know this, was an executive producer of one of my all-time favorite movies, The Princess Bride, which is a great film with Robin Wright Penn and Cary Elwes and some phenomenal actors. So the guy had his hands in everything. He created over 100 shows or developed over 100 shows. Some of them include Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time, The Jeffersons, All in the Family, obviously, and Good Times. Some of them, like I just spoke with Rob Thomas, are being remade to see if they can recapture that old magic. So Norman Lear, 101 years old, and he passed away yesterday, and he was still giving interviews up until a year ago. The guy was a dynamo and didn't really make his mark until he was 50. That's even more incredible to me. So really incredible stuff. We'll continue our talk about Norman Lear with Todd Alba of The Todd Alba Show. He joins me in just a couple minutes. It's Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe, host of said program. Wow, fun show tonight. We've been talking about Stephen Wright turned 74 today. We've been talking about Stephen Wright playing some of his jokes. We talked to Greg Liana, the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise, and Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. We're going to continue our discussion about Norman Lear. And joining me now to further discuss is a civic media radio legend, who's a real sport, and his name is Todd Alba, host of the show, of the Todd Alba Show. Hey, Todd.
Pete, I'm not a legend at all. We've only been on a year, but I'm happy and honored to be here, and I've listened to the show, most of it tonight, and it's been fantastic, your other guests. I'm kind of like the Regis Philbin of Civic Media, not in Regis's, the late Regis's talent, but only in that you call me at night, I have nothing else to do, and I rarely say no. So here I am.
Well, you just moved to the front of my Rolodex, buddy. That's good to know.
Well, congratulations on you guys for this fantastic show. I'm really happy for you and Conrad, and it's just a great addition to Civic Media.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I'm a fan of your show as well, although since I started this show, I'm a little frantic during the day preparing this show. I don't get much of a chance to listen to anything else. But I'm so glad you joined us tonight to talk about. Well, tell us a little bit about the Todd Alba Show, if there's people out there listening that aren't familiar with it. Give us a little background about your show.
Well, you're too kind. As I said, we celebrated our one-year anniversary a couple weeks ago, and you know, I started in radio when I was a junior going into a senior in high school, all the way back in 1987.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea how long I've been around. And, you know, my mom basically said, you can't be a slouch anymore. Get off the couch. And I was too arrogant to want to go flip hamburgers. And so a kid who was born with a cleft palate, a speech impediment, and dyslexia decided to go down and apply for a job at WRCO in Richland Center, and
wow,
our station manager at the time and went on to be owner, Ron Fruit, took pity on me and gave me a chance. And I started, back then you actually had to engineer Brewers games, the old computers, of course. So you would play the commercial. They were called carts, and they looked like what some people may remember to be an 8-track cassette tape, and you have to pot down or turn down the Brewer feed off the satellite and then play the local commercial and pot it back up. So that's, and so I ended up going to school at UW-Richland and then UW-Platteville and studied communication, broadcasting, and journalism, and did it part-time radio for about 17 years. And in the meantime, went on to do a career in government and politics for a number of years, predominantly in the Republican Party, or really the Republican Party, until 2011, when I ended up leaving the Republican Party over so-called voter ID bills, which is nothing more than voter suppression, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then we had a break. I worked in everything from cellular phone sales to managed a sports bar and then opened up my own coffee shop a couple of times,
wow.
Both failures. And so I bring all that mix into this thing, and it turns out your life is circular, and Civic Media ended up buying WRCO, WRCE, my old station. And my former boss, Dale Schultz, state senator, suggested they talk to me because they asked him to do a show. And he said, no, I'm retired. I don't have time for that crap.
So, wow.
But give Todd a call. And so here I am. And Sage Weil, our owner and CEO, was kind enough to give me a shot. And what appealed to me was the fact that, they said, because I said, this is too good to be true. What do you want me to talk about? And Sage said, just tell the truth and do it with integrity. So that's what we try to do every day, just pursue the truth wherever it may lead. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's serious politics. Sometimes it's lighter entertainment. But we always try to be halfway entertaining and take calls.
Well, you're definitely a legend after that story. That's a great. I'm always been fascinated with people's paths and what led them to where they are. Because you're right. You said life is circular. And I tell this to my kids all the time, there's so many moments in life where I've said to myself, I can't believe I'm doing this right now, or I never thought I'd be here, or I never thought I'd be here. And in some cases you go, I never thought I'd be here, and so happy. And you're just, you learn to appreciate life and the journey, because that's really what it is. So that's a great story, Todd. Good for you.
It's well said, and I appreciate that. And I think that, sometimes in life, you hit it, you nailed it. It is a journey. And sometimes when we go through things, we think, oh, that's a failure, or, that didn't turn out right. An old friend of mine, University of Wisconsin-Madison professor and a one-time congressional candidate, is fond of saying, an education is what you get when you don't get what you want. And boy, have I gotten an education. But the cool thing is that gives us the ability, I think, to relate and talk to a variety of folks. And I think that's what we bring to the air every day is try to, find the commonalities in the people across Wisconsin.
It sounds like we've had similar experiences in that I learned to not get so crazy about the highs now. It's like, when you get a victory in life, when you're young, you think, okay, it's over. I did it. No, you've got a lot more to prove, and your buddy is right. That's the education, and you don't want it to be all success. That shows growth, and it gives you grit and all that kind of stuff. So that's fantastic. I did pull up your Twitter page here, Todd, and I see that it's updated with Civic Media Radio host. You have a passion for all things coffee in Wisconsin, which makes sense with what you just said. And then it says, wannabe Guanaco. I had to Google that.
it's pronounced Guanaco.
Oh, Guanaco. Okay.
And it's a very long story for another bottle of wine or a cup of coffee.
Okay.
But the short version is, grew up in a town of 5,000 people in Richland Center and went to the 2-year campus there. They had a program called the Central American Scholarship Program, administered through Georgetown University, brought really, really poor young people with really high grades that would never otherwise have education to the U.S. for 2 years. And then they were required to go back to their home country for at least 2 years to kind of help grow democracy from within. And so I have a lot of friends from Central America, many of whom particularly El Salvador. And that's where we had a relationship to start our coffee business, bought coffee directly from farmers. And Salvadorans, kind of the interior slang for a Salvadoran is a guanaco.
Okay.
Kind of like the slang for an American would be a gringo. So Salvadorans call themselves Guanacos. So I'm a wannabe Guanaco because, you know, Salvadorans are chill and fabulous people, and I like to be more like them. They don't take life quite so seriously.
That's great. Okay, so I Google that, and I'm like, Todd wants to be an alpaca? Like, what is this? You know, because it's like what the picture that came up. So I'm glad you explained it.
It's a Central American slang term. You may not find it in Wikipedia. I'm not sure.
I love it. Well, this is great. And I'm talking to Todd Alba. He hosts the Todd Alba Show, and that's on Civic Media here too, every day from 12 to 2. Great, insightful discussion. So tune in for that. But Todd, I have you here because you did a great interview today, which I meant to play and I haven't yet. We might save that for our last segment. But about Norman Lear, you talked to Kelly Call, who was a studio executive. What do you have, like a admiration or relationship with Norman Lear or his career?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I'm 54, and so I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and certainly all these shows you've been talking about with your other great guests tonight are shows that I either watched in first-run syndication or first-run or else in syndication. And so I remember them all keenly. And, you know, growing up, I don't know that I had necessarily a direct appreciation for Norman Lear.
Right.
But as I got older, and especially decided to go into broadcasting, yeah, he just became an absolute legend. And, you know, talk about just great people and great Wisconsinites. Kelly Call is a native of Burlington, Wisconsin, a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and went on to have a very successful career at CBS and rose from basically an intern page and went all the way up and served as the president of CBS Entertainment for several years, helped put shows like Survivor and The Big Bang Theory on the air. And he was kind enough to join us on very short notice today. And he brought along with him Jim McCarron, who is a former vice president of CBS Entertainment, who actually knew Norman Lear and is preparing to teach a class in January at UCLA, get this, called Norman Lear, The Life and Times.
Oh, my gosh.
And so couldn't have asked for two better people. And it was just wonderful to hear their perspective as someone who worked directly in the industry.
Yeah.
And to hear a guy like Kelly Call talk about, you know, how Norman Lear truly, he basically said there was television before Norman Lear and there was television after Norman Lear.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great way to put it. I mean, like I just talked about this with Rob Thomas. And what you said is interesting because I remember watching All in the Family and I was a little young to understand exactly what was going on. But the other element of the show is it's so well written and so well performed. I remember laughing at Carol O'Connor and Rob Reiner and even Gloria and Edith. I mean, their performances were so great and so on point. Like, and Edith was so funny. I laughed at the show, even though I probably didn't get it the way I understood, like, Good Times, just a father-son rivalry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just brilliant. But the fact that he did not really achieve his success until he was almost 50, and he had 20 or 30 projects in development when he died. And I'm sure he has a company, and they'll see some of those projects through. But what a life. I mean, he's a true American legend, isn't he?
Well, I mean, I would say, I believe he was presented, and deservedly so, the Kennedy Center Honor.
Yeah.
Not so long ago. And he more than anybody else or as much as anyone else deserves to be there because, you know, what I said, and you know, I think Kelly Call and Jim McCarron said it in their own words, that one of the great gifts of Norman Lear through his work, through these shows that you've been talking about tonight, it made us look at ourselves. And I was a kid that grew up in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, home of WRCO, WRCE, Civic Media Properties, 5,000 people, 99% white. And sure, maybe it was partly fictionized and it was acting, but through, you know, Good Times and the Jeffersons and All in the Family and Maude, it exposed me to other races and or ethnicities, and it exposed me to more urban and storylines that I wasn't exposed to in small town Wisconsin. And it made me look at myself and think about myself. And I think, you know, I think those things made me look at life differently. And as I grew up, you know, those things help challenge my own beliefs. And so, yeah, I laughed like hell. And still do it. That's the magic, right? I mean, Kelly Cole was saying he just pulled up or saw an episode of All in the Family on my TV a couple of weeks ago. And I still watch clips or full episodes, and I laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it stands the test of time, right? And that's, I think, the work, the great barometer of any work, does it stand the test of time?
That's interesting that you said that, because in my neighborhood in Chicago, it was pretty much all white, too. And that was a conduit, you know?
Yeah.
Other than going to Cubs games, it's like, wow, okay. And then you see some horrible things on TV where black people are persecuted and all this. On these shows, I love when George Jefferson stood up to Archie. And they would have these great dialogue and this great argument. It was so great. Could that show happen today? Could there be some type of a remake of that? Or are we too polarized?
Well, you know, I heard the program earlier and asking these other guests. And, you know, I basically asked the same thing to Kelly Call, former CBS Entertainment president. And he had a really – I said, you know, could this be done today? And he said, as someone – the person at CBS who received all these pitches for new shows, he said, nobody comes in and pitches controversy anymore. They just don't do it.
I disagree with
and
that.
And I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
That creators aren't even pitching controversy. So I don't know so much that it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not being done.
I wonder, that's interesting, because I've been on the other side of that, pitching things. And I think they say they want that. And I'm not Kelly. I don't know Kelly, and I'm not speaking for him, but like, I've been in this where they say, oh, we want this and we want this. And then you pitch something and they're like, well, middle America won't get that. And I always say, you're not middle America. I am. I know, you know. So anyway, that's a really interesting take, though, from what he said. And he might be right about that now. Yeah. I haven't lived there in 10 years. I don't know what the climate is like, but I would love to see something like that.
But don't you think it comes down a little bit to, maybe we'll run out of time, but I think also it comes down to, well, do the advertisers want to buy controversy?
True.
Right? It all comes down to the dollar sign.
They have to buy in, too.
Jack O'Neill once said.
You're right. Hey, can you hang for 1 minute, Todd?
Of course.
Thanks so much. It's the Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We'll be right back with more Todd Alba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight with Peach Wobba. I've got Todd Alba joining me talking about Norman Lear. He did a phenomenal interview earlier on the Todd Alba Show, which airs every day here on Civic Media from 12 to 2. Check it out. It's entertaining and informative, and he's a really interesting guy. And Todd, did I ask you this? Sorry, what is your favorite Norman Lear show, if you had to pick?
You do, but with other people, you know, boy, it's a close call. I was a huge, or still am a huge fan of Sanford and Son with Red Fox, which was actually on NBC. It was kind of supposed to be NBC's, you know, counter to All in the Family on CBS. I'm just a big Red Fox fan, so yeah. I love Sanford and Son. But if I had to pick one of Norman Lear's shows, it would come back to All in the Family. I've said this for years, people who know me, sometimes they'll play, you know, games over a bottle of wine, you know, name your favorite top 10 movies or all-time TV shows. And simply based on what you hit on, Pete, the combination of the writing and the acting, how it was executed, I just think that All in the Family remains, for me, the greatest sitcom of all time.
Yeah, I would agree. Oh, interesting. And you're not alone there. I mean, I would definitely put it up there. And I grew into that because, like I said, I liked Good Times when I was a kid. But you just develop, as you mature, you develop an appreciation for what they were actually doing on All in a Family. What was I going to ask you? Todd, I have to ask you this. So our question tonight, Taylor Swift. I don't know where you stand on Taylor. You must have an opinion because you have an opinion on everybody.
Against Simone Biles and the Packers. Otherwise, I'm all with the Swifties. She's signing people up, registering to vote. She's empowering young women. I'm a Swiftie all the way, except when she plays our Packers.
Well, the Packers won, though. You can't be too upset. I mean...
I'm not upset. I'm just saying, when it comes to football, I'm a Packer and Simone Biles fan. Any other time, I'm with the Swifties.
And Tony Shalhoub was there, and I had the pleasure of meeting Tony Shalhoub. I had just finished making a film here in Wisconsin 20 years ago. I got home. The next day, I was exhausted. I went to the grocery store. Who do I see? Fellow Northeast Wisconsiner, Tony Shalhoub. And I just introduced myself. I don't usually do that, but I'm like, well, we're from the same neck of the woods. He could not have been nicer, gracious, just the nicest, most genuine guy. So out of the trio that were at the Packer game the other night that we saw on TV, Tony Shalhoub would be my person of the year, personally.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. That's what I would have to say. I've been holding on to that all night. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know.
The monk himself. And there's something new, a movie or something coming out, Monk's Last Case or something like that coming out?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Like that. I think he's back in the character of Monk somehow. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. He's such a good actor. I don't know. You ever see a movie called Quick Change?
I have not.
You should rent it tonight, Todd. It's Bill Murray. Right. It's Bill Murray, Randy Quaid, Gina Davis. The whole movie, they rob a bank and they have a clever way to get away with it and they cannot get out of New York City. And that's their whole goal was to rob a bank and get the heck out of town. And it's one obstacle after another. It's Bill Murray at his best. He co-directed it. Randy Quaid is hilarious. Wow. Gina Davis is great. And Tony Shalhoub plays a cab driver who can't speak English. And they're trying to tell him how to get to the airport. And he is so brilliant. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then later I saw him on Monk and I'm like, oh, that's Tony Shalhoub. Who was that? Yeah, it's definitely worth a rent. Quick Change. It's outstanding.
Thanks for the recommendation. I wrote it down.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, Todd, I appreciate you joining me on short notice tonight to talk Norman Lear and talk about your show and your background. This is all great stuff to know. Check out the Todd Alba Show every day here on Civic Media. From 12 to 2, it's entertaining, informative, and just a great listen. Todd, thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Congratulations, Pete, and congratulations to Conrad. You guys are killing it. Welcome. You've been at the Civic Media for a while, but congrats on this show launching this week. You're going to be fantastic. It was a pleasure being here.
Wow, thank you. And good luck with the Guanaco thing, too. I'm cheering you. I'm cheering you on from a distance. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Oh, that's Todd Alba. That was really fun. I've only talked to Todd in passing at the Civic Media Radio Network offices, and I was like, oh, that's Todd Alba. He doesn't think he's a legend, but now that I've heard his backstory, I think he's a legend. So, Conrad, let's play. Why don't we do one more clip? Let's say we had Norman Lear show. Let's do the Maude clip.
Got it.
Hold on. So this is Archie Bunker. Archie is asleep on the couch under a blanket, and Maude comes down. She's visiting. She's like a cousin, I think, of Edith, and she's visiting. Her show had not launched yet. They were introducing this character, and she comes in, guns blazing, and Archie is sleeping on the couch, and here we go. Okay, go ahead, Conrad.
Okay, everybody, rise and shine. Time to get up. Lazy Mary, will you get up? Will you get up? Come on, everybody. My Gloria, everybody, we're going to have breakfast downstairs. The exercise will do you good. Good morning. Good morning. Slept the whole night through. Good morning. Good morning to you. Are you waiting for a special invitation? I said breakfast is on the table.
I heard you. So did every moose up in Canada.
Listen, Archie, I'm not going to let you upset me. I'm only here because of Edith. The fact that you happen to be here with her is beyond my control. Like any other freak of nature. Now, you can either come to the table and eat, or you can lie there and feed off your own fat.
Oh, man. Oh, that's Maude. She went on to have her own show, Bea Arthur, and it was a great show, too. Norman Lear created some gems that he definitely earned his time here on Earth and made the world a better place. And he died at 101 yesterday. So we've been talking about him all day. And happy birthday to Stephen Wright, if he's listening, and he should be. We'll have him on sometime. Carol O'Connor, interestingly enough, was in his like early 40s, too, I think, when he played Archie Bunker. But he seemed so much older. He was like so curmudgeon-y. What did you think about that, Conrad? Have you learned a lot tonight?
Definitely.
Yeah. Good. That's what we're here for. This show almost was called The Education of Conrad. We went with Nightlight instead. And better luck next to you. The person of the year, remember, the federal chairman, was it Aaron Powell, I think is his name? He only got 1%. You're close, Conrad. You can do this. Next year is your year.
Sounds good.
So I want to thank my guests tonight. Greg Liana, great stuff. Rob Thomas from the Capital Times and Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. Weekdays, 12 to 2. Great stuff. Check it out. It's entertaining. It's informative. And Todd just has a really unique outlook and a very very truthful look at politics. And his radio show is really great to listen to. Okay, this is Pete Schwabba. We're going to wrap up here on Nightlight for tonight. Join me tomorrow night again, 8 to 10. It's Pete Schwabba, and this is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, everybody.